Join us now for the Chapel Hour, coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. Today's message was preached during a business luncheon held on the university campus. Following the introduction by Mr. Aaron Goldsmith, our speaker will be Mr. Todd Cappell, principal of Bob Jones Junior High. The title of his message is Five Commandments. The text is from 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 13 and 14.
Today our speaker is Mr. Todd Cappell. Todd is the principal of Bob Jones Junior High School. Todd served 4 months in Kuwait and 8 months in Iraq. And he's going to speak today on five commands. Mr. Cappell.
Good afternoon. And I appreciate this opportunity to come and share. I am very humbled to be here today. I'm very honored to be in the company of all of you, and especially the numerous veterans that are here this afternoon. And I would like to extend my personal thank you for all who have served, for all who have been behind while others are serving, because it's the wives and the families who are the true heroes who stay back and maintain the day-to-day affairs. And I thank those of you who supported these troops, and I know that the veterans here would echo those comments as well. So thank you for all of our veterans. I did serve in Iraq and Kuwait as part of Operation Enduring Freedom, Operation Iraqi Freedom. I was thankful to have an opportunity to serve my country, but that's not who I am. I'm a father of three boys, keeps us very busy at home. I'm a husband, and I'm an educator. And I'm just a typical individual who, in the part-time, and obviously sometimes full-time, serves their country in a military aspect. Many of you have friends, relatives, and some of you sitting in this room serve in the armed forces part-time. And as we are learning and as we are finding out, there's really not quite the distinction of part-time service as there used to be. But we thank you for your support for the troops that you may have employed or that you may employ or those who may work with you or for you. And we encourage you to keep supporting them, obviously. I'm part of a local signal unit in the Army National Guard. In May of 2003, we entered Iraq and were there at very near the Baghdad International Airport from May through December of 2003. Our job, our mission, was to supply communications to the folks there, mainly the troops. And we supported over 250 units in our time in Iraq, and that includes U.S. troops, obviously, British troops, Iraqi troops, Kuwaiti, Polish and Japanese forces. We provided either cable, internet, microwave, radio, or satellite communications for many folks. And it was our privilege to do so. We even had some communications that we set up for what they simply titled to us as OGA, which stood for Other Government Agencies. And then they later changed that to UGA, which stands for Unnamed Government Agencies, which clarified it for us. The CIA was there, and even the FBI. We had internet and phone service for the FBI. Why the FBI was in Baghdad, I don't know. I can leave that up to the conspiracy theorists among you, but they were there. In the time of our activity, we processed over 19 million phone calls and countless internet hours and emails back home, and certainly secure email between the forces there. In January, I moved back south and spent January through April of this year in Camp Doha, Kuwait, working for the 11th and finally the 7th Signal Brigade. And then we returned home after 365 days overseas in April of this year. My impression of the Iraqi people was very similar to what you hear many folks say. They are bright, happy, enterprising individuals. They are glad that we were there, and they were glad to be rid of the dictator who had ruled their lives for so long. Saw an entrepreneurial spirit abound every time you would stop, popping up out of the desert, out of nowhere. There would be coolers with Iraqis dragging them, selling you Pepsis, Coke, selling you ice, selling you CDs, anything to try and make some money. And they were very happy people. I was able to visit a local elementary school right in the shadow of one of Saddam's palaces, literally. You could see it in the background. Here's an elementary school that had been training young people, little first graders, second graders, on up through probably fifth grade, in my estimation. And the school building was plain block cement floors, cement windows, no glass, cement roofing and so forth, just in terrible condition. But in the time of my visits over the months, we saw that change because the people got involved. They had the freedom to come in, and with their own money, they bought paint. They put glass in the windows. They repaired the doors and so forth, and they were taking pride in what they were doing. They were happy to do so. The people there were happy that the palace in the background, which they could see every day over their school and over their house, their own homes, no longer housed a dictator. There was much celebration. I was in Baghdad when Saddam's sons were killed. That night, every night, we would see tracer rounds. We would hear small arms and mortar fire all around us. It was common, but nothing like that night. And it was celebration. They were so happy that Saddam's sons were killed. There was so much gunfire in the city of Baghdad. That's how they celebrate there. You know, we might have a little party. They go out and shoot weapons up into the air. So much of that we heard, I don't know if it's true, but we heard over 100 individuals were killed because what goes up must come down. And it did. So there was much celebration. They were happy that his sons were gone, and they were glad when Saddam was out of power. But I understand from conversations that I have with people who were there at the time and with Iraqis, they were sad that he was caught and not killed. They would have been much more happy if he was out of the picture permanently. And so they are thankful that this dictator is gone. And they are happy that in this country now opportunities abound as never before. These people have been given the right to choose, and we are fighting even today. You heard it on the news this morning. You saw it last night. You've seen it all week and in a month's past. We're trying to give them the right to choose. It's a stark contrast to what they have been used to. So don't be fooled. There is much going on in Iraq and Afghanistan that you will never see on network television. There's much positive going on. There's much encouraging things taking place there. And anyone who's had contact or been there realizes this. The vast majority of troops I talk with, both now and earlier, overwhelmingly support the mission and support our president. So please continue to pray for the men and women who are still there in harm's way, and make no mistake that they are, they have been, and they will continue to fight for freedom from opposition and terrorism. I thank you for supporting your veterans, and I encourage you to please do so continually. I'm not a politician, and I'm not here to push any agenda other than what the Scripture says. And I wanted to share with you this afternoon two verses in 1 Corinthians chapter 16. I realize you may not have your Bible with you, but I wanted to read two verses to you and point out what Jesus Christ has set aside for us, I believe, as five commands in Scripture that we need to see and to follow Him clearly. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13 says, and these are five simple commands. Listen to what Paul is saying. He says, "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong." And then he concludes in verse 14 by saying, "Let all your things be done with charity," which is love. Now, my time in the Army has taught me the importance of obeying orders. Any military person realizes that. You learn to obey orders quickly. As a matter of fact, I remember years ago going to Fort Jackson, Columbia, and within 5 minutes of being dropped off at my basic training battalion, I realized that you obey orders quickly and without question. That's a great concept, and it's something that they were quick to instill in us. We arrived by bus, about 56 young men who had very, very recently been deprived of their hair. We'd spent the entire morning carefully packing our duffel bags with all of our brand new Army gear and our personal goods, just getting it just so. We arrived. The first thing that happens, we got off the bus. It was probably comical to watch, but it wasn't if you were taking part in it. There were about 30 drill sergeants. There may have only been four, but it seemed like 30. They began to give instructions in very loud and very descriptive language on how they wanted us to empty our bags on the pavement so they could do an inspection, make sure we didn't have any contraband. Contraband could include anything, including M&Ms. So we began to unfasten our bags and lay things out carefully, making sure that my goodies were not confused with the person beside me and so forth. I just spent a lot of time packing all that. Well, that wasn't fast enough, as you might imagine. So as they are like to do, the drill sergeants made examples of a few individuals. Screamed politely in their face for a few minutes, reached down and grabbed their bag by the bottom, turned it upside down, everything spills out. Of course, the person is then doing push-ups while everyone else watches open jaw. Well, what do you think we did after seeing that demonstration? Probably the same thing you would do. We all bent down, grabbed our duffel bag by the bottom, turned it upside down. We learned right away that you obey orders quickly and without question. And that's a positive thing, and it's something that we should all know as a soldier, but certainly as soldiers of Christ. Now, why is that so important for a soldier to learn that you obey quickly and without question. We live in a democratic society. We have freedom of speech. We have freedom of thought. So shouldn't a soldier have his orders explained to him so that he can discuss the ideas presented and then decide if he's going to be able to obey that? Well, you laugh because you know it's obviously the answer is no. During a time of war, following commands immediately, right away, and without question, can be the difference between life and death. And in the heat of a battle, a commander does not have the time to sit down and rationalize and explain why something needs to be done. The delay could be costly. And the same principle is true for the soldier of Christ. And through the Word of God, the Scriptures that we have, our commander, the Lord of hosts, has given us His commands. And He has every right to expect us to obey these commands, both immediately and without question, just as any military commander would. And what's encouraging to me is to remember that the commands of our captain are of much greater importance than any command ever given by an earthly general, because the consequences of God's commands are eternal. So, in bearing that responsibility in mind, I'd like to examine, just quickly, these five commands that we see in these two verses. First, Paul says, watch ye. So, the first command is to be alert. Be alert. God reminds us to be watchful and alert during our Christian journey. A soldier must always be on guard because the enemy is always seeking an opportunity to attack us when and where we least expect it. You remember what it says in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. Peter says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Satan never takes a vacation. Satan knows that his days are limited, his days are numbered. And even though he cannot destroy the soul of a believer, he can destroy his testimony. He can destroy his effectiveness, and he seeks to do that. For the individual who has never trusted Christ, he wants to destroy that person before they have the opportunity to do so and before they make that decision. We have to be alert. We have to be watchful. When we first went to Kuwait, we were warned about a new phenomena that they were classifying as IEDs. You hear this on the news all the time. Improvised explosive devices. The insurgents there were very good at camouflaging anything. A soda bottle, a brick, a hubcap, and underneath it putting explosives so that when vehicles would drive by, it would explode and kill or injure. And it happens every day. It happened yesterday. And it's a great danger. They were trying to tell us how to be wary and how to be alert to these things and what to expect. I even learned later that there was a separate meaning for IED. The insurgents there are very resourceful. And while I was working for the 7th Signal Brigade, an S2 report, intelligence report, came across my desk to warn us about a new trend where the insurgents were taking explosives, strapping them to dogs, and then detonating them by remote control. IED, improvised exploding dogs. A new device, very clever, and yet something else to be alert for. As Christians, we have to watch because it says in Mark 14:38, watch ye and pray lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. So what are we alert for? We're alert for temptation. We need to be because Satan knows exactly how to trip us up as individuals. He's been deceiving men for millennia. He knows my weaknesses. He knows yours. He knows how to attack us. So we have to shore up our defenses. We have to be alert and simply don't place ourselves in a situation where we will be tempted. It's important to know our weaknesses. There's another warning. In Revelation 3, 1 and 2, we're to be alert. And unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name, and that thou livest and art dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. This is a danger for any of us today. The warning here is regarding apathy. If we are not careful, we can become apathetic toward the things of God. We may take time for personal time with the Lord, Wednesday night church, visitation, Sunday meetings, maybe Saturday opportunities at your local church and so forth. But if we are not careful, we can let that become humdrum. We can become apathetic toward the things of God. We've got to be mindful. We cannot allow the things of God to be ho-hum. We've got to keep that spirit alerted within us and be ready for the temptations that come. Luke 12:37 says, blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down at meat and will come forth and serve them. It's amazing to me that the Lord will reward our diligence and our watchfulness. He loves us so much. He cares so much that he will reward us for enduring watchfulness. And it's encouraging to know that the least of heavenly rewards is far better than the greatest of earthly struggles. The second command in verse 13 is stand fast in the faith. Be firm is the second command. Be alert. Number two, be firm. It's not uncommon for a soldier to be told to stand your ground. Sometimes the best way to counter an attack is simply to defend the position that you are in. And when choosing a site to defend, a soldier will primarily look for two things. Number one, he'll look for higher ground. From high ground, you can see the displacement of the enemy and you can protect yourself better. If you're on higher ground, it's easier to defend because an enemy is at a great disadvantage charging uphill. Secondly, a soldier will look for clear ground. You need open lines of sight, open lines of fire to detect enemy attack early enough to defend against it. And the same is true for us in our Christian life. Sometimes the best way for us to counter Satan's attack is to defend the position that we're in. Drive a stake in the ground and stay there. Don't move from it. We need to be careful in choosing the place where we will stand for God. So we too need to look for higher ground. And how do we achieve that higher ground as a believer? Well, simply by being in fellowship with God through daily prayer time and devotion. By being in the Word. By being on that higher place with Him in our hearts each day. And by looking for clear ground. Cleaning out the worldly clutter that gathers in our lives so that we can see Satan's attack early enough to defend against it. High ground and clear ground is important to be firm and stand fast in the faith. Thirdly, Paul says, quit you like men, or act like a man. I have three sons at home, and I love them, and I have great stories about all of them. You know what it's like as a parent. Our middle son, Jonathan, he's always been not the most manly type individual. He's much better now. He's 15 years old. But when he was 5, if he had a pain or a hurt, he would let you know about it. We still tease him about the day when he had a splinter in his hand. And we brought him into the house, and we're looking at the splinter, and I'm taking out a pair of tweezers. John will pull that out. And he said, and my older son was there, and my wife was there, so we all remember it the same, so he really did say it. A little splinter in his finger. He said, "Don't pull it out or I'll die." He's 5 years old. Tears coming down his face. He wasn't really acting like a man. I did one of those fatherly-like things, distracted him, and yanked it out real quick. He saw what I was doing, and before he could get it out, it was gone. And he's, "Oh, much better." You know what that's like as a parent. But God says not to be like that. The command to be mature, as Paul is saying here, quit you like men, should be taken seriously, because a commander is not going to take a group of toddlers and infants, give them weapons, and putting them out on the front line. It requires far too much time and supervision, and they're going to hurt themselves before they hurt anyone else. They're not strong enough to fend off the attacks of the enemy. So the Lord is not asking us to act like responsible adults, but to show spiritual maturity. In 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 20, the Apostle Paul reminds us, "Brethren, be not children in understanding, but in understanding be men." So the mature Christian is alert, is steadfast, and is an example to those around him. So how mature am I as a child of God? Am I a spiritual infant? Am I making efforts to feed, to strengthen, and to grow every day? Am I making the effort to be mature? So Paul is warning us here, be alert, be firm, be mature, and then fourthly he says at the end of verse 13, be strong or be strengthened. A good soldier is well conditioned, ready for action, and prepared to meet the foe. How mighty are our spiritual muscles today? There's some good news here. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10, Paul says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." That really blesses me because I know that I don't have to be strong in myself. I know that I can go forward in the strength of my Savior. And the strength of the one who has already given himself for me and who has already won the battle. For him who has won the victory, on whom death had no sting, we know that we have power in Christ and in Christ alone. It's God's strength that we go forward in. So when Paul tells us to be strong, we are looking at that in the light of Jesus Christ, not in ourselves, not in the flesh. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6, Paul said, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." It's also encouraging to me to realize that our strength is found in our ability to go directly to the throne of God. We can pray at any moment, at any place we are at, and it doesn't have to be out loud. We can pray within our hearts and ask the Lord for this strength. We can ask the Lord to help us overcome in any situation that He will place us in. And we can have the courage to realize that He will not place us in a situation in which He does not have direct control, in which He is not always there with us. What a powerful Lord we have. It's encouraging to me to realize that we can be strong with a joyful spirit, because Colossians chapter 1, verse 10 and 11 says, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. I can be strong in the Lord, realizing it's in His power, and I can have joy in doing so. What a difference, other than depending on myself and trying to take things on my own. I can go forward in the strength of the Lord. And then lastly, in verse 14, Paul reminds us, let all your things, and this is the last command we'll look at today, let all of your things be done with charity, with love. This is a self-sacrificing kind of love. And there are many examples of one soldier giving his life to save his friend or his friends. That happens in any time of war, any type of situation where you have men in arms together. But as soldiers in God's army, we need to exhibit compassion to unbelievers, to those around us who have never trusted Christ. And it's a love for the soul that can lead to salvation, that can point them to the fact that Jesus Christ loves them, that Jesus Christ paid the penalty for their sin, that Jesus Christ died on a cross to take away the sin that they have built up over their lives. That alone is worth our time, and to invest in other individuals. And to believers, it's to build up and encourage our comrades in the faith. I'm encouraged when I remember these commands in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, and I trust that as you leave from here that you will be challenged as well. Follow the commands of your Savior. Be alert. Be firm. Be mature. Be strong. And in all that you do, be loving. Let's close with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, that You love us. We thank You that You have provided salvation through Christ. Lord, we thank You that there is no shadow of a doubt that we can put all of our faith, all of our trust in You, and realize that You love us unconditionally. Father, we pray that You'll help us to obey the command so clearly given in Scripture. Help us, Lord, to be the right example for You as we leave here today. Lord, we thank You for those who are serving our country, fighting for our freedoms, Lord, defending our rights overseas so that we do not have to fend them within our own borders. Lord, we pray for those in harm's way today, that You would protect them, that You would put a hedge about them, shield them, and bring them through this day.
You've been listening to the Chapel Hour, coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University. Our speaker was Mr. Todd Capel, principal of Bob Jones Junior High. For a cassette copy of today's message, send a check for $6 to Campus Store, Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina, 29614. Be sure to mention the name of the speaker and today's date. This program has been sponsored by Bob Jones University.